This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Indeed. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9, Macca and Isaac. And our next guest is Declan Brennan. And Declan's been in before, but we're going to talk about today. He's a freelance writer, amongst other things. But I want to talk about today how, you know, potentially or in reality, Indigenous knowledge of extreme climates could be the key to society adapting to a hotter future. So Indigenous culture and knowledge has a lot of, there's a lot of history there about climate, isn't there, and what we can learn from what's happened in the past.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for letting me come in again. I think that's a perfect statement, is we do have so much we can learn from Indigenous knowledge, and perhaps we don't listen to Indigenous knowledge enough, and not just Indigenous Australians, but Indigenous peoples throughout the world have survived far longer than any Eurocentric group of people in some of the most hostile and, inhospitable climates there is. And we sort of seem to be ignoring that or favouring technology advances over any information from Indigenous people. And, yeah, I've just been writing, I suppose, on ways we can listen and learn.
Declan, why do you think we are so reluctant to accept the knowledge from the Indigenous people?
Look, I'm not going to speak on behalf of any First Nations people. That's not my position. But I wrote a large piece based on a Lancet article. And it was part co-authored by Dr. Simon Quilty. And he had a really good line to me where he said that we believe in sort of Western culture that technology can save us all. And it's a really interesting way of putting it. But I think we do. We sort of are always thinking there's a new technology or there's a new invention that will be the fix or the quick fix or something. And we seem to just – I don't think we ignore people of any sort of race or – it's just more we disregard things that aren't the most modern and the most up-to-date.
And do you think, Declan, that's because, you know, people, one, there's perhaps a lack of evidence and data around what has happened in the past, and particularly within those communities and how they've coped with different climates. But is it that lack of evidence that's accessible to people when making decisions, or is there something else at play here?
I mean, what other evidence do you need than, like, longest continually living civilization?
Well, exactly.
In history? I mean, that seems to me like amazing evidence. But, yeah, 100%. I suppose a lot of if we take Aboriginal people in Australia, for example, a lot of the information is not written down on sort of our traditional way of writing, like on paper, et cetera. So that doesn't get passed along. A lot of it's more sort of through story time or verbal. So, yeah, that is 100% one of the reasons. I think, too, perhaps there's just we believe we know a little bit better, whether or not we do that consciously or subconsciously, I think. But it's interesting if you look at the siesta is a great example of something in Latin American countries and in Spain, for example. That's a famous thing that we all know about. And it's actually been disregarded by Spain in like the last 5 or 6 years because it was apparently bringing down productivity in Spain.
Yeah.
And it's ironic that my article that I wrote, based around one of the worst heat waves in European history. And even Germany, who we all would consider not to be the most relaxed country.
They're not relaxed.
No, fairly uptight. They have been encouraging a siesta to stay away from the heat. And I think those things we've sort of, we probably put productivity or we put money ahead of things that maybe actually are quite easy to survive. If I may, I talked to a gentleman called Norman Frank Jupparula, who lives in Tennant Creek, and he sort of discussed to me an idea called Guada, which in his language translated to ears.
Yeah.
But as a more wide sort of encompassing thing was listening and learning and taking from people through stories. And he was saying, like, if let's say your car broke down in the middle of the day, you wouldn't fix it in the middle of the day in the middle of the heat. You would wait until it was cooler.
Just cooler. Well, you wouldn't touch it anyway when it's hot.
Of course you wouldn't. But he was like, you know, his example was you see contractors out in the middle of the day, no thought for their safety working because that's what their boss and then their company has said needs to be done. And I'm not saying one way is right or the other, but one group of people has lasted a very long time.
Yeah. Mm. I think, again, Declan, that, you know, we see this desire or this wish that technology is going to provide the solution. And then, you know, when I hear something like clean coal, right, it's like, okay, how is it clean? What we're trying to do is the technology is to make it less dirty. So, you know, again, there's this faith in technology, but there's almost, you know, there is this I wouldn't say lack of acknowledgement, but of past history and how societies that have been here a very, very long time have coped. So how do you actually get that knowledge integrated or to form part of decision making? How do we do that?
I think that's an incredibly difficult thing. I think in general, I mean, there will be arguments without getting too political around things like the voice that people can talk about. There is sort of conversations that can happen around that where there's maybe a more direct dialect between sort of your government officials and particular First Nations groups, etc. like that. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. I do think that it is something that requires an active listening.
Active listening.
And actively seeking out this advice because it's there and it's not hidden, it's not you know, dug away, it's openly there. And it just seems to me that you are right, we go for clean coal or we look at all these different, what's the next technology that we can use? And it's like, well, there are a lot of things that have existed for a very long time, or methods of survival, or methods of working through things, and they may not be the be all and end all, but they're certainly better than nothing. And we seem to ignore that completely. And, yeah, I do think actively listening and getting involved with Indigenous groups both in Australia and throughout the world is imperative to, I think, our survival as a species as we get hotter and hotter.
What do you reckon, Isaac? Do you think we disregard all this history, you know, that has informed and enabled those societies to survive? Do we ignore it?
I don't think we ignore it, but rather we just forget how important that knowledge is. Like, my dad used to tell me that you should probably follow the sun. So if the sun sets, you should sleep. And if it rises, you should wake up.
Yeah.
So I think given the technology that we have, we tend to kind of ignore nature, I suppose, the environment.
Do you think we can control it, Declan, with technology?
Yeah, so absolutely. So if we give a brief example, this study that I looked at in The Lancet covered heat-related mortality for 40 years in the Northern Territory.
Yeah.
Despite the massive socioeconomic differences between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, which includes housing, air conditioning, etc., the rates were about the same.
Okay.
So you're looking at technology that provides air conditioning, better housing, on average, higher income, and heat-related deaths are at a similar level. So there is something at that. That is not, you're mentioning, Isaac, getting up when the sun, going down the sun. But if you're working in the middle of the day when the sun's at its hottest, that's just a recipe for disaster.
True.
And I think we have this Eurocentric model, don't we, of 8 to 5 or 9 to 5, and everything's going to get done in that way. But a lot of Indigenous cultures, I mean, I talked about the siesta before. In India, one of the other authors of the piece was like, no one works in the middle of the day. Why would you? Why would you be doing this in 45 degree heat? It's crazy. But in Australia, we sort of just see, and in the Western culture in general, we just sort of seem to do it. Even as I said, in Spain, productivity is more important than, I don't know, human survival.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel shame that if they're not productive, they are kind of failing in some way, I think.
But I don't think it's productivity is not happening. It's just we don't have to do it on this arbitrary model of time. You know, like, as I said, in India, things get done. It just doesn't happen at 45 degrees at 12 o'clock. Yes. You know what I mean? You go there and shops are open at 11 o'clock or businesses are working at 11 o'clock at night. It's a lot cooler in the hot season. So I think there is that. That's a really good point. There is that misconception of, oh, well, there's no productivity. And it's like, well, there is. It's just not at our very Eurocentric model of and expectations.
So if people people would like to read your article, where do they find it?
100%. So it was in the Saturday paper a couple of weeks ago. I'm on Twitter as well. I've got, like, the PDF up there just because it's behind a paywall. And I was on the 7 a.m. podcast as well last week talking about it, and there has some stuff from some of the writers, like Norman Frank Jopparula as well. My Twitter's all hands on deck. But please contact me. I'm more than happy to share it with you just because I think it's a really important article. And it's in The Lancet.
Yeah. Look, it's a really interesting subject, Declan. And I think, you know, hopefully over time we can actually try and integrate some of that knowledge and that understanding. But that, of course, comes with starting off at first by engaging, doesn't it? That the people making the decisions need to actually, they say they have a sense of history, well, they need to actually look back and ask and see, well, how has this played out before? Different environment, of course, but to actually look at some of the history.
Absolutely, the sense of guada, just about listening and engaging, 100%.
Yeah. We're out of time, but thank you again, Declan Brennan, for coming in. His article's in the Saturday paper. And what was your Twitter again?
All hands on deck.
Deck. Okay.
Yeah, I'm very funny.
There we go. Yeah. You are on Saturday magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Isaac.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.